All right, with that thought in mind, we're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Feel free to hit us up on the text line, 3210824. Let's get our local view. He's the excellent columnist for the Register Guard. You'll find his work in the sports section of the paper, online, registerguard.com, the OregonCentric, DuckSports.com. Of course, follow on Twitter, the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how are things with you?
Hey, Steve, everything's good. How are you doing?
Good. You know, it's really strange, but I live here, I work here, I do this. Until a couple of weeks ago, I never even thought about the Hawaii connection between Mariota and Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa, and I was actually at the ceremony 4 years ago. Some talk has turned to the recruitment of Tua. You wrote about it. So from those you've spoken with, maybe what you've been able to ascertain, how would you best answer, why did he not become a Duck?
Well, that's a question a lot of Oregon fans have asked through the years, because it seems like the most obvious connection in the world. You know, Tua was a protege of Marcus Mariota, grew up in the same island, went to the same high school, modeled his game after Marcus Mariota in a lot of ways, and was pretty vocal about the fact when he was still being recruited that he wanted to follow in Mariota's footsteps at Oregon. It didn't work out that way. Oregon, for whatever reason, didn't show a lot of interest in him until it was too late. He went to Alabama, and I guess the rest is history. Even though he didn't win the Heisman on Saturday, just seeing him up there on that stage, I'm sure brought back some memories for a lot of people, brought back memories for me of 4 years ago when Marcus Mariota won the Heisman. I think you can look back on that and say Oregon certainly made a mistake by not recruiting him more aggressively. But I think you can also say that, you know, things have worked out okay for the Ducks. The quarterback they found, Justin Herbert, wasn't a Heisman finalist this year, but certainly has represented the program well. Whatever their problems have been the last few years, I wouldn't say quarterback has been one of them. So Oregon ended up with a pretty good quarterback story of its own, although I'm sure that there certainly is going to be people who look back and wonder what could have been if Tua had become a Duck.
Well, all will be forgiven in a year when Herbert wins the Heisman and leads them to the national title. So no sweat there. So
mark the tape.
There it is.
Steve has that one on the record.
12-11, 3:07 p.m. Done. So, again, I get there's an element to what you can and can't reveal about the Heisman. But how about Murray not only winning, but pretty convincingly? Does that tell you maybe the voters did the right thing and really hung on to their ballots until, you know, as late as possible and collected as much data as possible before they cast their vote?
Yeah, I think the vast majority of Heisman voters certainly waited until after the championship games to cast their ballot, which they should do. I mean, there's no excuse to file your ballot before important games are yet to be played. And I think if you did file your ballot before the championship games, you missed a pretty important data point in separating those two quarterbacks. I voted for Kyler Murray. I thought when you looked at a few important factors, to me, he clearly had the edge over Tua. The things I looked at were, I looked at his performance against the best teams that Oklahoma played. And if you broke it down on that level, Kyler Murray performed better against the top-shelf competition than Tua did. Certainly, Tua had an incredible year. And, you know, the numbers he put up, despite not playing in the fourth quarter of a lot of games, were incredible. But I think the deciding factor for me was Kyler Murray basically had to play great every game for Oklahoma to win. With that defense that Oklahoma had, they could have lost to anybody. They could have lost to Kansas if Kyler Murray had not been great. But every time he went out there this year, he was great. And to me, that was enough to give him the edge. And what was a really hard vote, you know, I really agonized over it, but in the end, I thought the right guy won it.
I agree, and I think those reasons are spot on. Talking with Austin Mika, the Register Guard, we've talked about the possibility of a Duck defensive coordinator possibly in line for a head coaching gig. Then it was kind of like filled. Now Kansas State going for North Dakota State's Chris Kleiman reunites him with the athletic director who hired him at North Dakota. Any sense of what that means long-term for Leavitt? You know, he was a former Wildcat assistant. I know you know. And, you know, is the window closing for him to become a head coach?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think we do have to wonder now with Jim Leavitt. Not only did he not get the K-State job, but it didn't seem like he was really in the running. You know, that was a big story a couple years ago. And Jim Leavitt did have that clause in his contract where he would waive his buyout at Oregon if he left for the K-State head coaching job. And I think that all came about with a previous athletic director. They have a new AD there now. As you mentioned, you had the connection with North Dakota State. And it didn't. I didn't get the impression that Jim Leavitt was really in the mix for that job. And I think that makes you ask, well, if he couldn't get that job, where is the head coaching job that's going to be a fit now for Jim Leavitt? Maybe he decides that he's hungry enough to be a head coach again, that he's willing to go down to a lower level. Maybe that could be a possibility for him, but I feel like if Jim Leavitt couldn't get one of the Power Five jobs that was open this year, either Colorado or Kansas State, or Kansas, by the way, then I'm not sure that there's a Power Five school that's going to hire Jim Leavitt as a head coach. And I think his options are stay at Oregon, where he's certainly well compensated. Look to the NFL. He was in the NFL with the 49ers.
Yep.
Maybe he could go that route again. Or look for a lower-level head coaching job, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen for him in the Power 5 job.
No, I think the numbers kind of lend itself to that. Oregon volleyball, great run, that Sweet 16 set to win against Minnesota. You wrote about Willow Johnson, the daughter of Hall of Famer Randy, who we now refer to around here as the X chromosome unit. So her story, I mean, I was reading your piece and it's like, man, it sounds like she was kind of a jock of the block trying to play every kind of sport in the world. And then at one point she realized, oh, that's where my excellence is.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're the daughter of maybe the most intimidating man ever to set foot on a pitching mound, and somebody who, you know, at 6'10", genetically, you know, had some advantages that not a lot of baseball players could match. Certainly, coming from that background, it was natural that Willow Johnson would try her hand in a lot of different sports, which she did. At some point in her high school career, she told me that volleyball really became the sport that she wanted to focus on. And so she ended up coming to Oregon. Her dad has been here a couple times. Now, he was here a couple weeks ago when they played at home in the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. Some sharp-eyed fans spotted him in the stands and out and about in Eugene. So he's been here a couple times. Sounds like he's still a pretty busy guy. He's still involved with the Diamondbacks organization. He goes overseas on a lot of USO tours, but finds time to come out and watch Willow. And Willow also has a younger sister who plays volleyball at Indiana. So as you might expect, their whole family, pretty diehard athletes in that family.
And by the way, real private investigators in the making, spotting the 6'11 guy who looks like Randy Johnson.
Yeah, you. As I put in the column, he has a little trouble blending into the parent section. He cannot exactly show up in school colors and just blend in with everybody.
Oh, that's great. I want to get a thought on the NCAA, who will, I guess, ignore big academic irregularities at North Carolina. The president, Mark Emmert, doesn't even show up at that unbelievable scandal trial in New York. But Kelly Graves gets two games suspension. So a strength and conditioning coach took part in practice drills. They self-reported. I almost feel like we have to pick. Is this ridiculous, hypocritical, infuriating? I mean, what do you make of this?
All of the above. Is that a choice?
Sure.
You know, the famous Jerry Tarkanian line came to mind immediately when I saw this. I think his quote was something to the effect of, the NCAA got so mad at Kentucky that they put Cleveland State on probation.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like the NCAA in this case was so mad at Adidas that it suspended Kelly Graves. You know, it's like the NCAA sometimes is so desperate to punish somebody for something that if they do find somebody that they can punish, then they throw the book at them because they know that in a lot of the big stuff that's going on in college sports, they don't have any power. Either they don't have the power to, you know, investigate and get to the truth, or when they do seem to know the truth, in the case of the North Carolina academic fraud situation, they're still not able to come to a resolution. So it does seem like it was certainly a disproportionate punishment when you read the specifics of what actually happened. You know, it all started when somebody at Oregon, an athletic department employee who has not been identified, noticed Josh Jamison, the men's basketball director of operations, working privately with players outside the normal practice times. So the school investigated, and it found some stuff in both men's and women's basketball. Kelly Graves basically went to the NCAA and said, "Hey, I did this. I screwed up. I shouldn't have done it." Figuring that, you know, just by being honest with the NCAA that they would show some leniency, but no. They ended up punishing him, to me, what looks like one of the harshest punishments handed out to a women's basketball coach by the NCAA when you look back in the case history. So it was a surprising outcome. I didn't expect anybody to get suspended over this. But, you know, that's kind of the NCAA's MO, though. You know, if they find a misdemeanor that they can treat like a felony, that's what they do, but they're not able to punish the felonies.
Yeah, they are about as consistent as Pac-12 officials.
Yeah.
Let's get to our weekly Chiefs mention. In the win against the Ravens, Pat Mahomes, he got hit 15 times, and some of them he was just flat on his back. But, man, that kid kept popping up that play to Tyreek Hill on 4th and 9. You know, I actually found myself rooting pretty hard for KC. I mean, how spectacular was Mahomes on Sunday?
Yeah, that might have been his MVP moment right there, because he has the numbers. And I think, you know, to kind of cement his MVP case, he needed a comeback like that. You know, like you said, 4th and 9, you know, it really looked like the game was over. And he comes up with a huge pass, 48 yards, on 4th and 9 to put the Chiefs in position to tie it, and then they win it in overtime. What else can the guy do? He's checked every box, at least in my mind, and I'm a little bit biased, but he's got the numbers. The team is winning, and you know, he's shown that whatever that gene is that Brett Favre had and John Elway had, whatever that is that, you know, that separates the very best quarterbacks who, when their team is down, can go out and lead a drive in the last 2 minutes. He showed he can do that, too. He's pretty special.
Yeah, he's must-see TV. Couple final thoughts for Austin Mika, the Register guard. Let's feed my obsession. When I heard Harold Baines, whose claim to fame is, I'm not really sure. He did lead the AL in slugging percentage once. And I know you're a big baseball fan, but, you know, George Brett, Roberto Clemente, Ted Williams are in the same Hall of Fame as Harold Baines. Am I over the top just thinking, like, what the heck is this?
Well, his claim to fame, I guess, is that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. yeah, there's not a whole lot else about his baseball career that would suggest that he belongs there. You know, you follow the Hall of Fame more closely than I do, but I have always felt that the Hall of Fame should be a pretty exclusive place. Once you start watering it down by putting in guys who were just average or slightly above average players, then I think you lose a little bit of the mystique that goes along with being a Hall of Famer. And Harold Baines certainly, I think, is in that category of a guy who was, maybe a little bit above average, but certainly not what anybody would consider a great player. And, you know, the process is just kind of funky. Because when the baseball writers voted on this, he wasn't anywhere really in the conversation. He wasn't close. But then you get whatever it's called now, the Veterans Committee or the Modern Era Committee.
The Modern Era Committee.
Yeah. It looks to me like it's a lot of baseball insiders, you know, who have a lot of maybe personal agendas or personal attachment to certain players. There's kind of a sentimental factor of, wouldn't it be nice if we could put this guy in? But I think when you look at it that way, you lose a little bit of the high standard that you should have to get in the Hall of Fame, and that's what makes it special is that you should have to be a great player to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you kind of provided the response to my last question with that, so I guess we could let you go free now.
Release me into the wild.
Folks, he's Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Follow in the sports section. Try registerguard.com, ducksports.com, on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG, and I look forward to catching up in person, I guess, at a basketball game soon. Thanks a million, Austin. I always appreciate your time.
All right, Steve. It's always fun. Thanks.
Take it easy.